This is Living Lab. I'm Heather Goldstone. There's a large wooden sculpture of a codfish that hangs in the Massachusetts State House. It's called the Sacred Cod. The reason is pretty self-evident. Cod fishing was the economic driver of early European settlement of New England. It's the oldest fishery in the nation, and it is in real trouble. A new documentary film, also called Sacred Cod, explores the science, the politics, and the human impacts of the declining cod fishery. David Abel is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter at the Boston Globe who has covered war, terrorism, and the environment. He is the story director, the writer, the reporter, and the producer of Sacred Cod. He joins me now via Skype. David, welcome to Living Lab.
Thank you so much.
All right, that's a lot of different jobs. Obviously, you guys were working with a small crew doing a lot of different jobs. What was it that prompted you to want to make a documentary about the cod fishery?
Well, I should say at the top, I'm one of three directors of the film. Steve Liss, a longtime award-winning photographer at Time Magazine, who's become a really wonderful cinematographer, shot the film and is a fellow producer. And Andy Laub, who is an incredible editor, was also a fellow producer. And we came together about 2 years ago after a prolonged period of time that I'd been covering the collapse of the cod fishery. And it just seemed like it was the right time to tell a story in a less iterative way, in the way that I've told it in the newspaper with each news development, but to take a longer look at the conditions that have led to what, by all accounts, is a historic collapse of America's oldest fishery and the broad impact that it's had on our region, particularly fishermen who have been losing a way of life that has extended across generations.
Was there a particular message you were trying to get across? I mean, you said, you know, trying to put this all in one place instead of the bits and pieces as they come out as news stories. But there was there one coherent message that you wanted people to come out of this film with?
Well, roughly about 2 years ago, the federal government, NOAA, instituted a moratorium on fishing cod. And that decision, which effectively banned cod fishing for the most part throughout the region, had a dire impact on many fishermen. And our hope was to really do two things. One was to give viewers around the world a deep sense of the history and the tradition of cod fishing in New England and the damage and pain it has caused on many of the folks who have been the pillars of our region's economy for generations, and understand how their lives are affected by the collapse of an ecosystem. And at the same time, our hope was to try to give a sense of what led to these changes in our waters and why, after many years of overfishing of cod and other species, the cod population has not been able to rebound.
Well, I want to play actually a short clip from the film. Early in the film, you speak with Karen Alexander, a marine historian from UMass Amherst, and she gives a nice description of the current state of New England's cod populations. Let's listen to her.
Comparing the cod population today to the historical cod population is like looking at the United States. If something happened overnight and 90% of the people disappeared, so you have 10% of the population left and all of them are kids. Cod has been overfished for hundreds of years, and we're at the very tail end of this once enormously abundant population.
Now, scientists have actually said it's worse than she even says, that actually cod's at about 3-4% of a healthy population. And yet many fishermen dispute that. And you have a lot of these folks in your film saying they don't think that actually cod is as bad off as the scientists say. Why not?
So a lot of fishermen know where to catch the remaining fish. And it's actually fully reasonable that they would be seeing significant and, in their minds, still vibrant amounts of cod. cod tend to aggregate when they spawn, and they tend to aggregate when their numbers decline, and they remain in significant numbers still in areas where they have been historically fished, specifically in the waters not far off of Gloucester. But if you look at the broad Gulf of Maine, as the federal and now state survey have done for years, you find that there are vast swaths where there are no cod. Fishermen from Maine, for example, have a very different perspective than the fishermen from places like Gloucester. They have been fishing for cod for many years, and now in their traditional fisheries, there are no cod to catch.
I'm curious about your choice. Most of the movie does focus on the city of Gloucester and Gloucester-based fishermen. Of course, there are fishermen all over New England who have traditionally fished for cod and other groundfish, including in New Bedford and, you know, up into Maine, out on the Cape. So why focus on Gloucester specifically?
Well, I would say that the film looks at fishermen across the region. We have New Hampshire fishermen. We have fishermen who fish out of Boston. We have Cape Cod fishermen. We have fishermen out of Maine. So the picture of the film really looks at the whole region. That said, we do start and really base a lot of the film out of Gloucester, and that's in part because Gloucester is one of the historic fishing towns in the United States, and it has seen huge changes over the course of the last decade. Going from an economy that has for centuries now been based entirely on fishing to having their waterfront changed. Now they're building hotels there. They're looking to have other kinds of businesses that where there used to be just ice houses and other fishing related businesses, because the number of fishermen who are operating out of Gloucester has declined substantially.
You say in the film, I think it's something like over 1,000 boats fishing for cod to something now like 200. Can you just give us a quick sense, because it changes all the time, what is the actual status of the groundfish fishery right now? Is any cod allowed to be caught?
So there is now a small amount of cod that is still allowed to be caught. The quotas have been cut roughly 95% over the last few years. That remaining 5% of quota is considered basically a bycatch quota, which means that for the most part, fishermen aren't targeting cod. They're targeting flounder and other so-called groundfish, or the fish that dwell in the bottom of the ocean. And sometimes they catch cod, and so this is a way of ensuring that they don't get penalized for catching certain amounts of cod. But very few fishermen in New England are actually targeting cod.
And those restrictions have largely been in place for a couple of years, and every year for several years we've seen cod quotas cut and cut and cut again. Is there any sign that the population is responding and actually bouncing back at all in response to these, you know, reductions in fishing pressure?
I have spoken to scientists, fishery scientists in recent weeks who have tracked the cod population for years, and they're actually seeing worse signs. They say that the surveys that have been done by NOAA and the State Department of Marine Fisheries in Massachusetts have found fewer small cod, which means that cod are not reproducing at the rate that would rebuild the population, and they're seeing many fewer, in fact, very few to none of the larger so-called whale-sized cod. And those are the cod that are known to be able to spawn in great numbers. And without those large fish, it's very difficult to rebuild a population. And so I'm actually working on a story right now for the paper about a new state survey that was designed in part to cater to the concerns of fishermen who have doubted the federal surveys and say that the federal surveys are flawed. And the story will look into how the federal findings have been corroborated in many ways by the state surveys.
That's David Abel. He is writer and producer of a new documentary film called Sacred Cod. He's been talking with us via Skype. I'm Heather Goldstone. We'll talk more when Living Lab continues after a short break. This is Living Lab. I'm Heather Goldstone. I'm talking with Globe writer David Abel about his new documentary film, Sacred Cod. He's joining us via Skype. As you've been saying, David, I mean, the cod fishery at this point is essentially closed, and that is heartbreaking for everyone, particularly difficult for fishing communities. And there's one scene in the film in a Gloucester bar. Folks are gathered singing sea shanties, and then one man recites this particularly moving poem. Let's take a listen.
What have they done? Is it too late now? Will the fishermen fish no more? Who will feed the people when the last fisherman is gone and the last boat is on the shore? The fishcrats tell us there aren't enough fish, so we must scrap our boats, and the yards that maintain them will close. Is it too late now? They say it don't pay for the young folks to stay. They've all taken jobs on shore. They can't go fishing no more. Is it too late now? What have they done? Daddy, what's a saying? Is it something I can see? Where can I find a boat to set it in the sea? Is it bigger than our house? Oh, how can I explain when my little boy asks me, Daddy, what's a saying? What have they done? It is too late now. We are the last fishermen. That's the way the guys around here are feeling about now. It's the death of a way of life.
I mean, you can really hear the hurt, the pain that these guys are feeling at, as he said, the death of a way of life.
Absolutely. And we're talking about a community that is in many ways responsible for the founding of America. Pilgrims came here initially and tried to survive off fishing cod. And cod helped finance the American Revolution. It brought great wealth to New England and made this region what it is. And that tradition has been passed across generations. And now there are a lot of fathers who no longer are seeing their sons follow in their footsteps. There are boats that are no longer being passed on through the generations. And for a lot of people and beyond fishermen, the communities that have sustained the fishermen, ice houses and all kinds of fuel depots and all kinds of businesses meant to keep the fishermen in business are also having experiencing a lot of pain.
At the same time, some of the things that the fishermen in the film say directly contradict the science, you know, that saying, well, there are, in fact, plenty of cod if we were just to be allowed to catch them. And this is not an actual problem of biology. It's just a problem of regulations. How did you, as a journalist and producing this film, how did you kind of balance those voices and that point of view?
I think there, if you talk to scientists, they say that what the fishermen are saying is true. They are seeing cod. They're seeing a lot of cod. And they're just saying that they're only seeing a small slice of the picture, and that they may be able to catch significant amounts of cod, but that's because they know where to catch them and they know where they remain. But if they go beyond certain waters, the scientists say, well, they're just not there. And it's not just the scientists who say that, it's fishermen who fish out of other areas. So we tried to give the fishermen the their due and have them explain what they're seeing and what they're experiencing and their anger and their pain. And we also tried to balance it by saying, well, there are reasons for this pain and there are reasons for these cuts. And if you talk to the people in the middle, bureaucrats, the managers from NOAA and from local councils that oversee the fishing industry, you find that there is a challenge in trying to get fishermen and scientists on the same page, in the same wavelength of understanding what ultimately is best for the long-term viability of the cod fishery.
You're listening to Living Lab. I'm Heather Goldstone. I'm talking with David Abel about his new documentary film, Sacred Cod. David, you were able to film some really tense moments, actually, in meetings between fishermen and regulators where they're trying in real life in some of these meetings to try to get on the same page. One example that really struck me is an exchange that you filmed between NOAA Regional Administrator John Bullard and a fisherman, David Gethel of New Hampshire. Let's listen to that.
You brought an article. I brought an article too, Dave, from the Portsmouth Herald, Max Sullivan, where you said you're quoted as saying NOAA Fisheries lies for a living. And then one sentence later, you said they don't care. They'd be happy if the fishery closed.
I believe that. Yes, I do. I believe you'd be happy if the fishery closed.
You know, if you were just talking about me, Dave, first of all, I'd say you're full of baloney. You don't know my motivations, but you're also talking about the people who work for me, and they work very hard to keep this fishery alive, and you just don't have a clue about what motivates us. And as for the fact that we lie for a living, I think that says more about your credibility than it says about ours.
Well.
I think you owe
let's
us.
Let's have it out right now, Mr. Yeah. Bullard, because
you owe us an apology. I don't think you'll give it to us. I don't think you'd say that to our face.
I would say it to your face. I'll say it right now. I think you lie for a living. You say you don't have the money to pay for observers. I believe that's a lie. I think you have the money. You got a $30 million budget. I believe you have the money. Maybe you got to fire some of your employees, just like hundreds and hundreds of fishermen have been fired.
David, you have spent hours as a journalist covering meetings just like this one, and those kinds of tense exchanges are not necessarily unusual. Do you think there is a possibility that scientists and fishermen at this point can get on the same page and have a better working relationship?
Well, there have been all kinds of attempts to try to make the science more transparent and to seek the input of fishermen so that they can meet minds. And as of yet, there still remains a pretty wide gulf between what fishermen say they're seeing and what scientists say exists. What I was alluding to earlier was an effort really brought about by the state of Massachusetts, in part by Governor Charlie Baker, to try to address a lot of the concerns that the fishermen have, and the state with federal funding spent $500,000 over the past year conducting its own almost shadow survey, taking into account a lot of the concerns that the fishermen had about the federal surveys. And so over the past year, the state has conducted its own survey in an effort to try to accommodate the concerns of fishermen. And what they have done is over the course of a year, once a month, they have towed for cod exclusively. And they have done these surveys in 10 times the number of areas that the federal survey does the same search for cod. They have also towed for longer, about 50% longer than the federal surveys. They have also searched for cod in deeper waters where the fishermen say that they often find them. And that has all been an effort based on industry boats, on fishermen's boats, to try to reach some kind of common understanding. But fishermen still don't believe what the state is finding, and the state has recently found that cod in state waters, cod in the Gulf of Maine is about 80% below what they found in similar surveys that they did more than a decade ago.
I mean, the science seems pretty clear. It's just too hard, I guess, to believe when that potentially spells the end of your own livelihood. And it's not even just fishermen who are affected. You mentioned this earlier, changes in working waterfronts. Kind of in contrast to this rough relationship that we've been talking about between regulators and fishermen, there was another notable moment in the film where you were talking with Peter Shelley of the Conservation Law Foundation. I mean, Conservation Law Foundation and fishing groups not usually on the same side of a lot of these issues, but Peter Shelley was talking about the future of working waterfronts, and it really seemed like he was speaking exactly to some of the same concerns that fishermen and others have. Let's take a listen.
In the hundreds of years that we've been collecting cod data, there's never been a collapse that has been as complete as it appears to be now. If we don't build cod populations back up, we're going to have high-rise exclusive condominiums and hotels in Gloucester Harbor taking up the spaces where fishmongers and chandleries for fishing boats and charter recreational boats tie up, because they're going to be gone. And that harborfront real estate is going to be developed as a playground for tourists and the rich. And Gloucester's fishing history will be just that history.
Do you think maybe issues like this, issues of collective identity, really, of New England, are places where maybe fishermen and other stakeholders can find a little bit more common ground and ways to work together going forward?
I would hope so. There's so much there's so much passion on both sides, or on all sides of this issue, whether you're looking at it from an environmental perspective or a fisherman's perspective or a scientist's perspective. Cod hit close to home, and as you said at the top, this is the sacred cod is something we hang from the rafters of the state house for a reason. And I don't think anyone really wants to believe that they are on the cusp of being threatened with something close to commercial extinction. But this is a viable possibility, and this is certainly something that scientists say is a concern. But cod can rebuild, and if we take the proper actions, as many in the government and environmental and scientific communities have called for, and also many fishermen have called for, if we continue to try to protect the species to allow them to rebuild, then we can once again hopefully have a thriving commercial cod fishery. And that is something toward the end of the film we see is now happening in a place like Newfoundland, where 25 years ago, cod collapsed precipitously. They had an even bigger cod fishery than we do in New England. And tens of thousands of people there lost their jobs after cod essentially disappeared, and the federal government in Canada also declared a moratorium on fishing cod. But now we're actually seeing the first signs in a quarter century of cod rebuilding, to the point that Canadians are now allowing for a larger commercial fishery, and they're really preparing for a robust return to their past, a robust and hopefully more sustainable fishery.
That's David Abel, writer and producer of a new documentary film, Sacred Cod. He's talking with us via Skype. I'm Heather Goldstone. Living Lab continues after a short break. Welcome back to Living Lab. I'm Heather Goldstone. My guest this hour is David Abel. He's an award-winning Boston Globe writer, now also the writer and producer of a documentary film called Sacred Cod. He's with us via Skype today. We've been talking about the collapse of cod mostly in terms of overfishing, but climate change is a huge part of this, and a lot of time in the film gets spent on kind of explaining how climate change actually is affecting the cod fishery, particularly when it comes to warming waters. So what's the connection there?
So the Gulf of Maine, according to many scientists who monitor it, is warming at a faster rate than nearly any other body of water on the planet. And that's in part because of its location. It's in part because of runoff from streams and rivers and the Gulf Stream. But that warming, scientists have said, is linked to the difficulty of cod rebounding. Cod have been overfished for many, many years, but it's only recently that cod have had a much more difficult time rebuilding. And lots of science suggests that the reason is climate change and the warming of the Gulf of Maine.
When you talk with fishermen, what's their take on climate change? I mean, they're seeing potentially these effects every day when they're out on the water.
It's interesting. It depends. You know, to talk about fishermen, they're not a monolithic community.
Of course.
And they often see and understand the world from the prism of where they're fishing. So I think if you talk to most fishermen, they will absolutely agree that the waters are warming. The causal impact on the fishery is more difficult to explain. And so that is a little bit more of a mystery. And the truth is that scientists disagree on this as well. And it's not 100% certain that climate change is what's causing the cod fishery to have such difficulty rebounding, according to the state and federal surveys. But that right now is a leading explanation for why now they're having so much trouble repopulating.
I mean, it's not just directly the temperature effects. You also followed one scientist, Barney Balch, from the Bigelow Laboratory up in Maine, who goes back and forth across the Gulf of Maine looking at the very base of the food web, the phytoplankton, the microscopic plants in the Gulf of Maine, and the fact that the whole system is changing. It's not just about warmer waters make it harder for cod to reproduce, that there are these systematic ecological changes that may also be contributing to the failure of cod to rebound.
Absolutely. The base of the food chain is experiencing great challenges, and that works its way all the way up to larger species like cod. But cod specifically can only thrive in certain temperature conditions, and they're cold water fish. And if those conditions change beyond a certain level, it makes it very difficult for the older cod to survive, and it makes it difficult for reproduction. And that can have a catastrophic impact.
Even before this most recent crash of the past few years, scientists were already predicting things like Georgia's Bank could be too warm for young cod by mid-century. Now, seeing that this population has crashed and is really appearing to have trouble coming back, even with greatly reduced fishing pressure, I wonder if it's realistic. I mean, you said earlier cod can rebuild. Is that realistic with climate change already having an impact and getting worse into the future? Could this be actually the end of cod?
Well, I certainly am not going to forecast that. And
that could be a dangerous position to take around here.
Yeah, totally. But I think everyone hopes that the closures and the actions taken to limit fishing will provide enough space for the fishery to rebound. And hopefully there will be some cooling of the Gulf of Maine that might provide space for the fishery to regenerate. But right now, it doesn't look promising, according to all of the available scientific surveys that have been done on this fishery.
You end with the story of Newfoundland, which you've already touched on. The cod fishery there, of course, collapsed and was closed 25 years ago. Just starting to see some rebounding now, 2.5 decades later. I mean, you kind of put this out there at the end of the film as a hopeful story. I guess I've always read it as more of a cautionary tale. Do you really think that the Newfoundland experience translates to New England and is a reason for hope?
Well, it has been a cautionary tale for a very long time. And I, this summer, made my second trip up there. And a few years ago, as we were experiencing grave problems in the cod fishery in New England, I wrote a story for the Globe that was very much a cautionary tale about the potential dire consequences of government administrators failing to heed what scientific surveys are finding, and a fishing industry essentially trying to push back against any quota cuts.
I mean, when you're saying regulators failing to take heed of the science, that's essentially right. Saying that we needed to be cutting back on fishing even more to take into account climate change, not the opposite, right?
Right. So the cautionary tale that was and has been Newfoundland for many years now was the tale of government regulators failing to listen to scientists as they warned about problems in the fishery and failing to cut back on failing to impose quotas that would be difficult politically and basically following the concerns of fishermen who had said very vigorously that it would be devastating for them if the government cut back on their quotas. And then the fishery in Newfoundland in 1991 and 1992 completely collapsed to the point that the federal government had no choice and they banned cod fishing. And it has been that way for as we said, 25 years. Over the last few years, as the waters there have actually warmed, which has made it easier for cod to thrive because the water there had been very, very cool. The changing environmental conditions there, as well as the lack of fishing pressure and the closures, have provided a space for the fish to really start to regenerate to the point that now Canadians are saying that the fishery is expanding, the cod fishery in Newfoundland is expanding at an exponential rate. And they expect by the end of this decade that they will allow for a serious amount of cod fishing, unlike anything they've experienced in a long time there.
You, in this film, in true journalistic fashion, allow fishermen, regulators, and scientists all to, as you said, have their say without taking sides. I wonder how those different parties have responded to the film.
Thankfully, nobody has tried to harm us yet, which is good.
Hopefully you're joking about that.
Yes. No, we've had a great response to the film. We've screened it in Boston at the Coolidge Corner Theater in September, and we had many of the fishermen in the film, regulators, scientists and environmental activists who came, and thankfully, I think they all feel like they got a fair shake and that we did justice to this very complicated story.
There are going to be some screenings coming up in Boston April 4th and 13th, and then the film's actually going to be on Discovery, broadcast on Discovery Channel starting on April 13th. What message do you think this film has for an audience outside of New England?
Well, my hope is that, number one, people empathize with the pain and the challenges that our region is facing as a result of this dramatic decline of a historic fishery. But I also hope that they understand that there are reasons for regulations and that without thoughtful, fair-minded, nuanced regulations, there could be no more fish left to fish.
David Abel is a Pulitzer Prize-winning reporter at the Boston Globe who has covered war, terrorism, and the environment. He's the story director, writer, reporter, and producer of a new documentary film, Sacred Cod. He joined us by Skype. David, thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Until next week, this is Living Lab. You can always find Living Lab Radio on Facebook or follow us on Twitter. I'm Heather Goldstone. Thanks for listening.
Living Lab is produced by Heather Goldstone and Elsa Partan. Mindy Todd is the executive producer. Major support for Living Lab comes from the Candida Fund, furthering the values that contribute to a healthy planet.